Amen.
Well, it's good to see everybody out again to our home group meeting here in May. And we just thank God for everyone that has come out, and thank God for everybody that has that listens over the internet and through our website, and all the wonderful comments and all the great things that you know, that you share, and even some of the things, you know, the recommendations and stuff. When I take that all into consideration, and I feel you guys make it, you know, just a better website and home group meeting audio version. Amen. So let's go ahead and get right into what I started sharing last month. I started sharing a way and an end that God has for us. And that way is an everlasting way, and it is an everlasting end that God has for us. So let's go ahead and just pick up with that. And this will be a two-part series, and we'll go ahead and finish this tonight. And with the Lord's help, and we just thank God for all of this. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, we Paul sharing these words with us. And the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another. Notice that. Our love is to abound. It's to increase. It's not supposed to decrease, but it's supposed to abound one to another. And toward all men. Uh-oh. Now we can go ahead and have our love and abound toward you know, toward people that we like, but now, how about people that we do not like? It's very easy to love somebody who loves you, but it's very, very difficult not to love someone who loves you. But, you know, but Paul tells us here that our love is to go toward all men, even as we do towards you. To the end, notice if you got a pencil and you're underlining there, please underline to the end. He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of saints. So our love is supposed to bring us to an end to where our heart is established. Now, I like that word established, and when I think of that word established, I think of some words that a Chinese pastor spoke. He was arrested for sharing the gospel, and his family was arrested. And the authorities said, denounce Christ and stop sharing the gospel, or we will kill everyone in your family, and then we will kill you. We will start with your youngest son, and just go through each one and kill you. And the Chinese pastor, with tears in his eyes, looked at his family and said, I will see you in the morning. I will see you in the morning. Now, he could only say those words knowing that his family was going to be slaughtered and he was going to be slaughtered. He could only say those words, that I will see you in the morning, out of an established heart. He was convinced it was established. What a powerful truth. The way in the end is the point that God has aimed us at. God has a mark in mind for us to obtain. You know that? God has a place that He wants us to come to spiritually. He has a mark in mind for us to obtain. And the command of God is contained in His Spirit and in His promise. It is contained in His love, whereas He has loved us first. Jesus speaks these words, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Wow. Jesus did not say, this is my commandment that you all form different denominations, and this is not my commandment that you feed the poor, and yes, we got to do all of those things. But the commandment that Jesus gave us said that this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. So we are to love one another, not just love one another, help one another and do what we can, and yes, we got to do that. But Jesus' commandment to us is for us to love one another like He loved us. And Jesus laid His life down for us. Believe it or not, we are to lay our life down for our brothers and our sisters. Now, some may have to step in front of a bullet to do that, but I don't think Jesus is talking about that as much as we laying our life down, preferring our brother ahead of us and wanting to see him you know, our brothers and our sisters advance and be blessed and get all of those things. We are to be servants. We're to go out and serve our brothers and our sister. Not too many Christians today want to love one another as Christ loved them. We want our brothers and sisters more times than not to love us. You know, lay their life down for us, but that's not what Jesus said. He said that we are to lay our life down as He loves us. His words are full of grace and truth, and that grace will be that which will end up in the His words is full of grace and truth, and that grace will be that which enables us to fulfill His promise. We cannot fulfill those words of love one another as I have loved you unless our words too are full of grace and truth. And we will not have that ability, we will not have that power within us unless our words are of grace and truth. Jesus was a doer of the word. He was not a listener of the word. Jesus did those things that He said. His words had power and had impact in people's lives because He not only said it, but He did it. And the people could see within His life, you know, the established heart that He had and how much He loved people. He did not just love us in word only, but in deed and in truth. Jesus loved us in deed and in truth. And as we move to that end, we must allow God to work in our lives so that we will be able to have that established heart, so that our heart will be blameless in holiness before God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 17, tremendous verses here. I'm going to kind of read through those and we're going to talk through those. For the love of Christ constraineth us. What constrains you today? What constrains us today? There's not much constraint in our life, especially in America. You know, we can do and say and go wherever we want to. There's not much constrains us. But here Paul tells us that it is the love of Christ constrains us. Do you know that God's grace and His love is to constrain us? It is to hold us back. It is to limit us in so many areas. Because we have thus judged that if one died for all, then we all are dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who has died for them and rose again. So what Paul is telling us, because Jesus died for everybody, we then need to die to ourselves, and we need to die for our brothers and our sisters. Again, going back, you know, to what Jesus was saying there, that this is the commandment that I have, that you love one another as He has loved us. But it goes on here, wherefore He hints, know we no man after the flesh, yea though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth we know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, wow, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now those are very, very famous verses in 2 Corinthians that talks about us becoming that, you know, that new creature. But we're only become that new creature as long as we do not know men after the flesh. Galatians 1:10 says, if I desire to please God or man, and that is the question, do we desire to please God or man? Paul answered that question, if ye desire to please man or be a man pleaser, then Paul says, ye shall not be a servant of God. We are not to know men after the flesh. We are to know Christ after the Spirit. We're to know God, and we're to know His children by the Spirit. We're not to know God and His children in fleshly ways. Sadly, too many Christians try to know God, and they try to know God's children in fleshly ways, and that will not work. As John 3:6 says, that which is spirit, that which is flesh. And so when we try to know God with fleshly ways, and we try to make our mental ascent to Him with our imaginations and with our, you know, with our intellect and our rituals and all those things, well, then we'll never, ever be able to know God's ways. we must live our life God's way if we want to walk in the ways that He has for us to go. And we must go God's way. We must come to the end that God has for each and every one of us in the way that He wants us to go. Many Christians walk in their ways, not God's ways, and expect to have the thing God intends for us. Well, it does not work. If we desire to have the things that God has for us, then we must walk in the ways that God has for us to come to that end. You cannot go your way and expect to have the things that God wants for your life. It doesn't happen. If you desire to walk with God and have the things, those many blessings, those precious promises that Peter always talks about, then we must walk the way and come into that place that God has for us. And the way that God has for us, my friend, believe it or not, is not a way of plenty and abundance and in our way. God's way is always a place of limitations and restrictions. It is because limitations and restrictions bring us to fulfillment and completion. And God, we can't do what we want to do and say what we want to say. We must limit ourselves to what God has for us. We must restrict ourselves to His Word in the Bible. We must limit ourselves to the places that He wants to go. And only then can we come to that place of perfection that God desires to bring us all to. It is through limitations and restrictions that bring us to completion, that bring us to the end of our life, and not all of those many things that we want to come into. And I know that doesn't, that's not very popular in most churches, but I'm telling you, that's the gospel. That's the way of the cross, and that's the way that we have to go. Paul was constrained by the love of Christ. Now, I like that. It was the love of Christ that constrained Paul. Wow, that's powerful. To live the way he did and to enable him to become what he became and enabling him to abound unto others. It was the love of Christ kept him limited and restrained him. And that also enabled him to abound toward others. He was love, and He was salt, and He was light, and so forth to the world. This love of Christ is the love of God out from which God abounds to us through His Son. Paul declares, henceforth, wow, I like that, henceforth, now and forever. So from this very second and forever, know me no man after the flesh. No longer will I live my life to pursue my own desires, but I will follow the leading of the Spirit, who will take the things of God and show them unto me. Remember, those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. But how can you be led by the Spirit and try to go your way when God is leading you by the Spirit this direction? We can only go in the direction. No longer will I know Christ by traditions or out of imaginations or of the deceit of my own heart. But I will know the true God and His true Christ by revelation. Wow. Now that's, I don't know about you, my brother and sister, but that is very, very, very powerful. We are to know the leading of the Spirit, and in doing so, we will leave the old things of our earthly nature with all of our affections behind. You can't walk in your earthly affections and your desires and expect to be led by the Spirit. It just does not happen. We must allow God to work in our life and kill those affections and kill those desires for all of those things in our life. We will walk into ever greater light and see things as they truly are if we can do this. All things are becoming new, as Paul said. We're becoming new creation. Everything in our life is becoming new to us because we are discovering all of the treasures and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Wow. The old things become more distant to us, and their draw upon us becomes ever, ever weaker. That is God's desire in our life. As we are led by the Spirit, the draw of this earth is become weaker in our life, and they become weaker out of the right decisions that we make. We choose not to do certain things, And the more often we choose to do certain and not do certain things, then our draw for those things in our life becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and they fall away. When we choose not to do certain things, then that means that we choose to do other things. And the other thing is going to be the opposite. So we choose not to sin, so now we're going to choose to walk in righteousness. As the sin things drop off from us, then the righteousness things will become a part of us. Instead, we are to be caught up with the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. We must come to this personal knowledge of the Spirit and not the flesh, so God can lead us to the end of His purposes for our lives. We come to know God through revelation by the Spirit and from His dealings and judgments in His life. God's dealings and judgments in our life bring us to a place of realization. It brings us to the greatest realization in our life that we are not His Son, like His Son Jesus Christ. And we even look at the Ten Commandments, and that's something that's written, you know. God says, don't lie, and we do. Don't steal, and we do. Probably a lot of people are going to go out there and commit murder, and probably a little more probably will commit adultery and stuff. But God tells us not to do those things, and visually He tells us in the Bible, yet we do them. But it's to go on even further. We are to come to know God through the revelation by the Spirit. And as His Spirit comes to us and brings to us how much we're not like Him, then His dealings and judgments in our life can begin that transformation from darkness into light, from darkness into light. But sadly, most Christians do not know God. Oh, they know religion, they know traditions of men, they know church activities, but they do not know God. They know denominationism, they know to pay their tithes and do all of those things, but they do not know God. They have not come to that personal knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and how much they're not like Him. My friend, that only comes by being led by the Spirit of God. When we so walk, God abounds toward us and then pouring them into us. So when we walk by the Spirit, God will be abounding toward us in them, and in them putting into us. Our cup then will run over. You know, I hear so many Christians want to be blessed. I'm so blessed, I don't have time for stress, and they have all these cute sayings and all that good stuff. But I promise you, when you walk by the Spirit of God, and when He begins to deal and judge in your life, you're not going to feel like I'm blessed and all this good stuff. God will break you down, but when God breaks you down and you can stand up in Him, then I promise you, your cup will flow over. That is to say, God is blessing me above my ability to contain it all. Being so blessed, we are able to bless others out from the abounding of God in us. As God begins to bless us, and as God begins to work in our life, we're not supposed to keep the blessings. I hear Christians that want to be blessed and blessed and blessed, but what are they doing? Are they trying to save up the blessings, and so when the bad times come, they can go ahead and kind of chip some out, you know? Well, why are we supposed to, you know, save the blessings? I mean, that just don't make sense. When God blesses us, we're supposed to give that away. And then when we give that away, whatever we want, you know, we give that away, and then God will be able to bless us. We don't need to save the blessings of God up for a rainy day. What we need to do is receive the blessings that God has for us, and then for us is just to give them away. Just give them away. God never gives to us dead-ended. And this is very important. God never gives to us dead-ended. If He gives you 10 euros or $10 or 10 shekels or 10 Kenyan shillings or whatever, He expects you to give some of that 10 whatever away. Do never, never, ever think that God will give you something for you alone. No, 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 no. God gives you things so that you can give those away. God gives you a blessing, you can give that away. You can bless somebody else. God gives you $10, yeah, give 3 or 4 of that away. God never gives to us dead-ended. When we think that God gives to us dead-ended, we are then selfish and we're self-seeking in that. But God never does that. God always gives to us so that we can give that away. God expects us to bless others from what He has given us. whatever God has given you, God expects you to bless them with that. Well, I don't have much. Okay, you don't have much, that's okay. Whatever you have, take some of that and just give that away. He expects for us to bless our brothers and sisters. This is my commandment, that you love one another. God gives to us, and He blesses us to give, and expects us to give to others with what He has given us. Not what we want, or not what we're working on, or whatever, but whatever He has given you, He expects you to give that away. At the same measure you bless others, God will bless you. At the same measure that you give to others what God has given you, then God will give that back to you. Not anymore, not any less, but at that same measure. God always works at the same measure. Forgiveness is a prime example. As we forgive, Jesus says, you shall be forgiven. Forgiven is not endless. As you forgive, you shall be forgiven. We give back to Him, we give back to God that selfless love which He first gave to us. That is why the trial of our faith is so precious. That is why the trial of our faith is so precious. Our cheerful endurance in these trials, our offerings up from our moments of difficulties, our light afflictions, become the sacrifice of praise which brings into the house of the Lord. It is our light afflictions, it is our heavy afflictions, it's our moments of difficulties, and all of those painful times in our life, these are the sacrifices of praise that we bring into the house of the Lord. Well, we think we're singing songs, doing all of these things, and all these religious activities, and I guess, you know, some people like doing that, but that's not what God really is after. God is really after our heart condition. He is after those things in our heart that He knows that are there, and He wants us to find those out. And we only find those out when we allow God to work in our lives. And then what we do, when we come to church, then we bring them to Him as a sacrifice. All of those difficult moments and all of the difficult times, and we just lay them on His altar, and He consumes them. And as those things are consumed, then we are conformed into the character and the image of the Lord. It is given to us to suffer on His behalf. Let me say that again. It is given to us to suffer on His behalf. Most Christians would disagree with that wholeheartedly. Oh no, Brother Dave, I'm not supposed to suffer. Well, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That is a promise from God. And we will have that. And it is given to us to suffer for His behalf. How different these moments of suffering will appear as we stand before Him when they do here and now when we are in them. So one day when we stand before God, those light afflictions will be nothing. But as we are in there now, they're very, very, very difficult. How different they will seem. These moments given to Him will be found unto honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. Wow. They will testify of our love for Him, and they will be the basis upon which He honors us. Let me say that again. They will testify of our love, our afflictions, our suffering, all the trials that we endure, all of those things that we do for God. These brief moments that we give to Him, they will be found as honor, and they will be found as glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. They will testify of our love for Him, that we love Him enough to endure. We love Him enough to sacrifice. We love Him enough to do without, to be limited and in restriction. And they will be the basis upon which He honors us. We will not be honored by how long we can stand and speak in tongues. We will not be honored by how much money we give to the church. We will not be honored by how many times we cut the grass. These will not be the things that God will use as the basis for honoring us. The things that God will use for the basis of honoring us is the difficulties and the circumstances and the painful areas and the light affliction and all of those sacrifices of praise that we bring into the house of the Lord. These will be the areas that God will use as a basis for honoring us. May we be patient in tribulation and strong in faith, giving glory to God. given into the heart of the gospel. I cannot stress that again and again and again. Given into the heart of the gospel. And I can always tell where someone is in God, believe it or not. There are three ways I can always tell where someone is in God. And the first is how they give. And I'm not talking about money, because I'm not a prosperity teacher, but I can tell by how someone gives. Do they give of themselves, their heart condition, and yes, even their money? Do they take time and they with people? I can always tell where someone is in God. Another way I can tell where someone is in God is by how they pray. Do they pray, "Oh Lord, I want you to do this," and "Oh Lord, do this," and "Oh Lord, do that," and "Lord, jump through this hoop for me," and Lord, you see that lottery ticket that I have, and you know, do they pray about themselves? Do they pray self-seeking? Do they instruct the Lord in their prayers? Or do they pray according to God's will? According to what God wants to see them in their life. A couple of years ago, maybe five or six years ago, I decided to stop praying for myself. And just said, "Oh Lord, heal me and bless me and do all those things." You know, I just kind of stopped that. And you know what I found? I found I had more time to pray for others. When I stopped praying for myself and asking God for things that I want for myself, I found I had more time to pray for my sweet and wonderful wife and for my four kids and their kids and for more, you know, more areas. You know, I didn't spend a lot of time praying for my needs, and I just spent more time sharing needs with the Lord of other people. And that is the way it should be. And the third way I can tell where someone is in the Lord, by their language, how many times they use the word "I." I did this, and I did that, and I went here. Now, yes, I know there's sometimes you got to use the word "I" in a sentence. But if it's "I did this, and I did that, and I'm going to go here," and it's I, it sounds like it's a Mexican hat dance song. I did this, and I did that. It's not "I," it's "we." We did that. They did that. I is a sign of being selfish and immature. An immature child speaks of I. And an immature Christian also speaks of I. It's not I, it's we. It's them. It's them. We did this. They did that. And not I did that. God can only honor us after we honor Him. That's an important point. If you're taking notes, please write that down. God can only honor us after we honor Him. It is when we do what He wants us to do in obedience that is true honor to God alone. True honor to God is obedience, is our obedience in Him. It's not doing all the church things, and yes, you got to go to church, and you know, you got to do all of those things, but that's not about the heart condition. That's not the heart condition. That is the reasonable service. That is the reasonable service that we must do to share this wonderful gospel message. But honoring God alone is obedience when we are obedience to Him. And when we learn how to say and do the things that we need to do. I know James 1:19 talks about the qualities, that we need to be in our life. And that is quick to hear and slow to speak. Wow. What great qualities. That's not what the world would tell you. Well, that's not what, you know, a non-Christian would tell you. Tell them, you know, what you think. Give them your opinion. You know, what do you think about this? And you know, I mean, that's what the world says, you know. Get your 10 pounds of flesh and all that good stuff. But that's not what James tells us. James tells us that we are to be quick to hear and slow to speak. It is in the world, or it is in the end of the way everlasting upon which the Lord is leading us. It is this more excellent way spoken of by Paul in Corinthians. It is the selfless love of God. This way everlasting is all about ending up in God's love. In God's love. But we can only end up in God's love as we move in obedience with Him. And we allow Him to work in our life through His dealings and His judgments in our life. It is the more excellent way spoken again by Paul in Corinthians. It is a selfless love of God. It is what Jeremiah calls it, the highway of God's holiness, that love. It is Jesus who is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. It is the way in which God walks, because God is love. When we become the love of God, we will ever walk in the way everlasting as well. Let me say that again. When we become the love of God, when we are obedient to God's commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. When we become the love of God, then we will become that way everlasting as well. May the cry of our hearts be that of David, the man that was after God's own heart. We are to become the love of God. This is God's intention for our life. It's not to make us rich and famous and beautiful and happy and all of those things. Oh no. God's intention for our life is for us to be conformed into the character and the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is all of these things. And we are to be those things also. We are to become love like Jesus was love. We are to love like God. We are to give to the brethren. We are to give to the brethren. We are to give sometimes until it hurts. People in this world, they need help. We are to give to the brethren. We are to give like God. We are to give beyond our ability. I think it was there was a church that Paul said that they gave beyond their abilities and they gave till it hurt. Well, there's not too many people like to give to it hurts, but we're supposed to give to it hurts and we're to love like God. There is no way than to be led into God's everlasting way to the end of our lives, but by through love. And the only way that we can come to God's everlasting way is when we allow God to work in our lives, God to show us our hearts and work in us and just show us and work and show us and work and endure some of life's many problems, but the biggest thing we need to endure, not only is life's problems, but is the dealings and judgments of God as He begins to show us our heart. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, this should be the prayer of everybody's heart every day of our life. It should be the prayer of everybody's heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And look here, lead me in the way everlasting. Let's say that again. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Not too many people want God to search them. Not too many people want to stand there to God because God is a consuming fire. Oh, we don't like that. But David here said, search me, O God. When David was talking, search me here, actually, the image, that you get in the Hebrew is someone like putting their hands on them. And David was saying, God, put your hands in my heart. Wow. And then he said, try me, search me, and then try me, and know my thoughts. So put your hands in my head, in my mind. Put your hands, and it's like he's looking through our mind. He's looking through our heart, to see if there's any wicked way in us. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's very, very powerful. This should be our prayer. This should be our prayer today, is that we allow God to search us and try us and know our heart and know our thoughts and see if there's any wicked way. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I can only speak of Pastor Dave here, But Pastor Dave's heart sometimes is wicked. It's not what it needs to be. And I need God and His precious Holy Spirit to search my heart and just to see if there's any wicked way in me. Because if not, you'll never be able to lead me in a way everlasting. The only way that we can allow God to lead us in the way everlasting is when we first have allowed God to search our heart and to try us in our thoughts. This is the condition for being led by God in the way everlasting. And if any Christian or any church is to come to the end, the purpose that God has for them, and that is to walk in the love of Christ. If they are to come to that end, God that He has for them, they must walk in this way everlasting. And as I can say, time will always tell. Time in our life will always tell who desires to have God to search them and know their heart and try them and know their thoughts. Because the end result will be what God wants for each and every one of us to come into the character and the image of God's precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your love and for your many mercies, Father. Lord God, I would ask that you would just take this word tonight, Father, Lord God, and as people listen to this all around the world, Father, Lord God, that your power and your spirit, Father, Lord God, would prick their hearts, Father, Lord God. And Lord, that Psalms 139, 23, and 24, Father, Lord God, would be the prayer of their life, Father, Lord, that they would desire for God to search them, Father, and try them, and to see if there's any wicked way in them, Father, Lord God, so that they could lead them in that way everlasting. And Lord, bring them to that end, Father, Lord, that I have discussed over the last 2 months. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. We just love you, Father, Lord God, and we just praise you and we give you all the honor and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.